ask the Lord to be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and the first sentence in the 10th verse. For who hath despised the day of small things? Chapter 4, the book of Zechariah, and the first sentence in the 10th verse. This word which Zechariah the prophet was inspired to proclaim to Israel of old stands in connection with a memorable chapter in Israel's history following their return from Babylonish captivity. I need not take up time in going into those details, for you are all familiar with that return, but this word stands especially in connection with the building of another temple in the place of Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed altogether. And you will find that when the Israelites returned from Babylonish captivity and had rebuilt Jerusalem's walls, then they established the worship of God and laid the foundation of another house of God. But that house of God was not at all to be compared with Solomon's temple in its glory and beauty and greatness, because it was so much smaller. And the strange thing is that while the foundation was laid and the work begun, then there was such opposition from the enemies of Israel, who still abounded in the land of promise, that the work was brought to a standstill. And there was the house of God begun and the walls up just a little way. And it was like that for 16 or 17 years. And there was no further movement to continue the building of it. Such were the fears and faintings among the Israelites at that time, although they were Israelites indeed. And then the Lord appeared on Israel's behalf and raised up Zechariah and his brother prophet Haggai, and especially Zechariah at this time. And he was instructed to proclaim to Israel that they were to go on with building the house of God, and that no enemy should hinder it being brought to a finish, as you read in the context. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? It would seem, according to what you read in the book of Ezra, that those who remembered Solomon's temple had got that feeling in their hearts when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, and they saw the limitations of it. In the book of Ezra, you read like this: and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. It was those who were young in the way, who were shouting for joy, that at last there was the beginning of a house of God going up before their eyes, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. And now that is the setting of the subject. Here is Zechariah the prophet, ordained of God, to give this encouragement to Israel, not to despise the day of small things, although the house of God which was now to be built was not to be compared with Solomon's temple for all that it was as a beauty in the land, yet it was to be the house of God. And Haggai said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former, saith the Lord. And that was brought to pass because Jesus Christ, as verily man, verily God, went in that temple and read the word of God therein, and with a scourge of small cords drove out the buyers and sellers and the money changers, that the house might be made manifest that it was not a house of merchandise, but the house of God. And now that is the background of the subject. Like the painters, sometimes great artists, they put in a dark background, and then the picture they paint upon it stands out all the greater in relief. And now, it might be a help to some of you if grace is given to the preacher to work out this line of things, because it may be with many of you, especially with some of you dear young people, as regards your religion. You do feel, as you survey the evidences of it, that it is a day of small things in your soul's experience. And it may be sometimes you may be tempted and tried as to whether God has indeed begun his good work in you at all, because you seem to know so little of him and his truth. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now, in approaching the subject, I would look first of all at how God, throughout the word of God, has often made use of small things. And that is to teach us a great truth, that God does not despise the day of small things. And therefore you and I must not despise it wherever it is to be seen. Wherever you observe what seems to be the root of the matter welling up in a poor sinner's breast and showing corresponding fruit, although it may be as yet small things, you and I are not to despise it. There is a word which runs like this: though thy beginnings were small, yet shall thy latter end greatly increase. And now you might think of young Abijah, and you are well aware of young Abijah, and he had some good thing in his heart toward the Lord God of Israel. And it does not say some great thing. No. And there is a danger. I'm not fitting any caps on. I say there is a danger that sometimes when people have been so well taught of God and have gone down into the deep things of God and have been given a gracious, outstanding experience, that they may have a tendency to despise the day of small things in others, because it does not compare with how they feel God has led them into the truth. Yet you see, Lydia, whose ear was opened, and her heart, and that she attended to the things spoken of Paul, and was baptized and bore fruit, was a member of the church at Philippi, and there also was the Philippian jailer, whose religion began with an earthquake in the jail, and then an earthquake in his conscience. But they were brother and sister in the church of Christ. And you may depend upon it, it was not allowed for the Philippian jailer to despise Lydia as a sister, because she could say nothing whatever about an earthquake in her soul's experience. Dear friends, I have lived long enough to see that this has been quite a danger in our own denominational life. You must never set up how God has taught you, if he has in his mercy taught you by terrible things in righteousness, as the standard whereby God is to teach everybody else whom he is pleased to teach. No. No. God is a sovereign. And regarding the church of Christ, it is said, and they shall be all taught of God. And he is sovereign in how he teaches. And it is recorded, even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And little ones are those who, when they come to tell out what they hope God has done for their soul, can only tell out what they feel to be small things in their soul's experience. But it is not to be despised. God does not despise it. Who are you that you should sit in judgment on it and despise it? No, no, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. God does own and use and bless the day of small things. And you will find, if you read the word of God from that viewpoint, that great events have sometimes hung upon what seemed to be things that were trivial. And now, just to illustrate that and help you to think about it later on, think of Joseph long ago when he was in the pit. And as he was placed therein, he did not know but what at evening time the wild beast would come, and that would be the end of Joseph and all that he had felt before God. No, no. At that time, the Midianites passed by, going down into Egypt. And that was not by chance. It may have seemed a small thing, but it was in accordance with divine providence. And Joseph was sold as a slave and went down into Egypt. And there the Lord brought to pass and worked out that which he had made known to Joseph in his young life, that he would do as his life opened up, and as he journeyed on therein. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now to think again, think of that widow woman at Zarephath, when she goes at length to the barrel of meal, and there is just a handful. Maybe she scraped the bottom of the barrel to make it that amount. She holds up the cruse of oil to the light. There is only a drop of oil. Small things. And in her heart she fainted and wondered what the morrow would bring. But God was already working on her behalf. And Elijah was being wrought upon to do that which God designed to do. And you all know how he was pleased to work through Elijah. Thus saith the Lord, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And you will find in the margin reading that Elijah lived under that home roof with the widow woman and her son, and he dwelt there for a whole year. But it was only every day as she scraped the bottom of the barrel that she found a handful of meal, and every time she picked up the cruse, she found a drop of oil. And so she had to learn what you and I have to learn if we are taught of God. The just shall live by faith. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. For who hath despised the day of small things? Just another illustration I use, and that is, as you go to the Acts of the Apostles and read how the Apostle Paul journeyed about and came at length to Ephesus, and there he found a wee church. As he arrived at any city, he sought out if there were any people taught of God to be found therein. And when he arrived at Ephesus, he found there was a wee church in membership 12. And now the Word of God does not record how that church at Ephesus was founded and gathered together, who had the honor to be the founder of it. But the Apostle Paul said to those in that church at Ephesus, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And the answer is surprising. "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And now that was a day of small things indeed. Here were these dear people in a church state, following on to know the Lord, followers of Jesus Christ, but they did not know whether there was a Holy Ghost, which shows that there can be such a day of small things that people can be right at heart, and yet when it comes to defining sound doctrine, they're not able to do it until later on, as God is pleased to unfold in their souls the heavenly mysteries. And dear people, you must keep these things in mind, that you may judge righteous judgment. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now the Apostle Paul did not despise that little church at Ephesus. Oh, he did not say, "I cannot begin to recognize you as being a church at all. I've never heard of such things as people having been baptized, being members of a church, and not know whether there is a Holy Ghost or no." No, no. The Apostle Paul was a large-hearted man, and he desired to do his master's will, and he was helped to instruct them more fully in that which is truth. And that wee church at Ephesus, day of small things as it was, became one of the most outstanding churches in that area, as you may read in the epistle to the Ephesians. And some years afterwards, young Timothy, according to church history, was the pastor of it. But now I want to look at this as it refers to you, preacher and people alike. For who hath despised the day of small things? There are many viewpoints whereby you may survey your soul's experience. I hope you do survey it. And now that might even help you to thank God and take courage if you do. It is said of Mary, "And she pondered all these things in her heart." And it may be some of you do. Oh, you ponder in your heart at times your religion, and you think, can it be that which God is the author of? You may feel it is such a day of small things, especially if you hear of others, read of others, who can tell out something very definite and clear cut, so that they have got those waymarks to set up. But you can hardly tell when you were born again, if you are. You cannot tell when the good work was begun, as regards the date of it. And I have come to believe this, that not many people can do. The people that can do, amongst people taught of God, are not the majority. They are the minority. There is this line of things, to be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be asking the way to Zion with our faces thitherward. Oh, how often I have observed in our church meetings, when those have come along to be one with us in our church fellowship, how many of them have had to say, I cannot tell when the good work was begun in me. They could not set a date to it, but they could tell out those things which made it evident that they could say with Job, the root of the matter is found in me. Yes. And you might remember in the Word of God itself, there are not many recorded therein where it is said when the good work was begun and where. There is the Apostle Paul. The dying thief could have told us had he lived, but he went to heaven and rejoiced in the fruits of it, being begun and finished in a very short while. When should you think the good work was begun in Joseph? When was that same good work begun in David? And even when was it begun in young Samuel? You might look through the Word of God and you will find some of the most notable characters. The Word of God is silent on when the good work was begun. And you really ought to say thank you to God that it is so recorded. Because if it was set down that each one, every one had got a date when he or she was born again, where would you be? You would be in heaviness through manifold temptations that there was no good work begun in you at all. Listen, whene'er to call the Saviour mine, my soul with ardent wish aspires, can it be less than power divine which animates these strong desires? Who hath despised the day of small things? You know deep down in your heart, if you have been brought on the other side of the line of demarcation, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and that is where you were born, and how you lived till you were born again. Then you found you were on the other side of the line. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. And from that day until this Sabbath morn, you have been seeking the Lord, following on to know the Lord. Yes. And although it may be a day of small things in your soul's experience, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, it is not to be despised. No. God does not despise it. For his word is a bruised reed, he shall not break, and smoke in flax he shall not quench. And he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. Sometimes it may seem to you to be a day of small things when you hear the preacher speaking about what is called a law work. A law work is phraseology, and the Puritans say much about a law work. But what I want you to remember is that the Word of God does not set up a rigid standard to which you must attain to as regards a law work. Some there are, as I said, the minority, are taught by terrible things in righteousness. And they are what the Puritans speak about as being shaken in their soul's feelings over the mouth of hell itself. But you cannot begin to detail any such experience in the dealings of God with you. And now, what is a law work? The Word of God tells us, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law saith to the sinner under it, which is you and the preacher too, as we were born, pay me that which thou owest. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection. The law saith, do this, do not do that. And you, being a sinner born again, although you hardly know whether you are or no, you are in earnest to have matters made right between your soul and God. And you will attempt to do what the law commands. But you will find with all your attempts to be better and do better that you can do nothing as God requires. Sin is mixed with all that you do, and that brings you down bedrock before God, helpless and under the law as regards your soul salvation, hopeless. For you have to approach unto God. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Naked I come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. And now that is the effect of a law work. Whether it be by small things, sometimes it may take a long, long while ere a sinner is stripped of all his fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. I remember one godly woman who was a member of our church here when I first of all became pastor. And I saw her when she was on her deathbed. And in the last 2 or 3 weeks of her life, God taught her more about his law than she had ever learned. All the while before, and her name was on our church roll, and rightly so, for 60 years. But on her deathbed, God opened up the fountains of the great deep. And she went deeper down into the publican's prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. And now God may lead some whom he makes known his truth unto. He may lead them in a very brief period of their lives into the deep things of a law work. But with a great majority, it is, as I have said, here a little, there a little. And you get further openings up of it as you journey on through life. And it is to teach you. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Who hath despised the day of small things? And just to help you, dear young people, over this viewpoint of the subject, there are 2 illustrations used in the book of Hosea which have often impressed me, and they're very striking as to how God was dealing with Israel at that time when they were in a backsliding state. And they follow each other. I will be unto the house of Israel as a lion, and a little lower down, I will be to the house of Israel as a moth. And now, could you think of a greater contrast than how a lion goes to work in a terrifying way, and how a moth goes to work? And now, that is how it is with a law work. With some, God deals as a lion. But with many, it is as a moth. And there the moth goes to work, fretting away at the garment. Maybe the housewife has not been to the cupboard where it is for a while, and she goes at length and takes out the garment, and lo, it is ruined. No lion has roared to denote what was happening. All has been done quietly, without any noise whatever, but the ruin has been wrought. And so it is that sinners are humbled before God and brought down. Sometimes God deals with them as a lion, and sometimes he works like a moth. But every sinner taught of God comes down at length to this: if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And now when you get there, you know what is the foundation truth of our most holy faith. Salvation is of the Lord. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now, you may feel it to be a day of small things as regards your knowledge of the truth. You go back over your life. You remember how it may be all your life you have been under the gospel, from baby days on, going up through the Sabbath school and being taught from the Word of God there. But when you come to weigh matters up as you journey on through life and look back over the way you have come along, how little do you seem to know of God and godliness. And the devil may suggest that what you do know is that which you have just gleaned along life's way by dint of intellectual study, and that it is not by revelation whereby it can alone be known aright. And yet every day you are still asking, lead me into thy truth and teach me. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Who hath despised the day of small things? Sometimes you are helped like this. Could I joy is saints to know, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord? And that is a good argument. For what you are by nature will never allow you to use such language. For what you are by nature uses other language. We will not have this man to reign over us. Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee, or thy ways. Who hath despised the day of small things? Another thing whereby you will find it is a day of small things in your soul's experience is regarding your faith. Oh, as you read the Word of God, how you were brought to weigh matters up, and how you feel how apposite, how necessary is that petition, Lord, increase our faith. The hymn writer says, and you know how true it is true about you, it is true about me. Our faith is feeble, we confess, we faintly trust thy word. But wilt thou pity us the less, be that far from thee, Lord? He said to his disciples, O ye of little faith. He did not say what you might have thought. He could have said, according to their behavior at that time, O ye of no faith at all. But he discerned there was faith. A day of small things. It was little faith. Lord, increase our faith. Sometimes you will find that faith is made manifest like this. And that is indeed a day of small things not to be despised. When you can say with Jonah, though I am cast out of thy sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And when you can join with Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now you may sometimes feel your hope in God is only small things as regard the evidences of it. Maybe some of you, dear young people, feel like that, and if you could feel otherwise, you might even venture to be found in our church fellowship. Oh, but you are troubled because your hope seems to so fluctuate. Well, if you would like to weigh the matter up before God, I will show you a useful way in doing it, and that is if you like to look up the references to hope in the Word of God, you will be surprised at the fluctuations of it. There is what is called the full assurance of hope, and now that is a day of great things, when you know that you have indeed an interest in Calvary's cross and what was done thereon. When you can say, for me, O miracle of grace, for me, the Saviour bled. Aye, but it speaks like this, about the patience of hope. There is where you have a little hope, and you are learning to live like the hymn writer says. How beautiful is that setting forth of the life of the righteous too. All through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. But then, if your hope seems to be a day of small things, and Satan may suggest that God is not the author of it, the word of God speaks like this, who against hope believed in hope. And there is a great scripture in the epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, for we are saved by hope. And now, dear friends, both young and old alike, let us get down to bedrock. What was it brought you along this Sabbath morn? It was not just because it was the Sabbath day, and all your life you have come up to worship God. With many of you, it was hope that brought you. In your petitions before God, with whom you have to do, ere you set out, there was a desire ascending that there might be some help afforded you in the worship of God, that your hope might be strengthened, brightened, and that you might have a good day. Yes, I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. And if you only find a small portion, a little help in singing the songs of Zion, or in the public prayer, or just a little that you get under the preaching of the gospel. Who hath despised the day of small things? You must not despise it. No. And if you get as low as this, cold as I feel this heart of mine, yet since I feel it so, it yields some hope of life divine within, however low. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now one thing you will feel of a truth to be small things, if you feel like the pastor does, and that is your attempts to pray. Oh, how good it would be if you and I, in drawing near to God, could more often realize largeness of heart and get on the right side of what the hymn writer says. Thou art come into a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. But you may be troubled because in your attempts to pray, you cannot put words together to express what you feel before God. And to you it is indeed a day of small things. And yet, what do you sing sometimes? Those feeble desires and wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. Yes. Another viewpoint of it is this. Often our prayers do seem to be a day of small things. What about our praises? Oh, you think about your praises. And you know how very rare is the experience when you can praise God from whom all blessings flow as you desire in the fullness of it. You do put words of praise together, but you do want out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. And that seems to be a rare experience. And yet it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O thou most high. But do remember this when you try to say thank you to God. Your words may be very ill put together. You cannot describe just what you feel, but you can appeal to God with whom you have to do, O Lord, thou knowest. And he does. And he knows that deep down in your heart you do desire to humble yourself before him, the majesty of heaven, and give thanks for what he has been pleased to do for you along life's way, and what you humbly hope he has done in carrying on his good work in you. And he will not despise it as a day of small things, because you cannot praise him with a psalm completely. No, there is this scripture which you might think over. It is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to what a man hath not. But when you do find your heart warm and gratitude meeting in your spirit, do you make the most of it and give unto God the glory that is due unto his holy name. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now it might seem to you, when you look back over life's journey, especially if you light on that word in Jeremiah, which you know the pastor so often quotes, set thee up way marks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart again toward the highway. You might feel, alas, my way marks, they only seem to be small things. And even then they seem to be so few and far between. But then, if they are indeed way marks, as you humbly hope, and that of which you can say, this is the finger of God, Look at the word itself. Way, mark. It is a mark that you are in the way. The way to God. The right way. And what a mercy that is. And if as yet your way marks seem to be but few, who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you, and you will yet set up many more. Who hath despised the day of small things? Oh, you must not despise it. You must remember that good man of old. He seems a very striking character, Eliezer. When he went to search out a wife for Isaac, and what did he say when he saw the hand of God upon him for good in the way he was helped to go along? He said, I being in the way, the Lord met with me and brought me to the house of my master's brethren. And now, you can argue like that. I being in the way, the Lord met with me, even in his house of prayer, in the gospel being made a reality in my soul, and in the singing of the songs of Zion, when you have made melody in your heart, and when in the public prayer you have walked in agreement with the preacher and walked with God. Being in the way, the Lord has met with you. And in your everyday life, are you going to say the Lord has never met with you? Who hath despised the day of small things? Treasure up every waymark, every eye heap, every Ebenezer. And remember what you can look back over life's journey and see God has been pleased to do for you, only makes manifest that he will be pleased to do yet much more for you than he has already done as you journey on. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, and we trust he will yet deliver us. There is just another viewpoint of this. For who hath despised the day of small things? And now, you may think your sphere in life is a day of small things. Sometimes, this needs very cautious wording, but I'm bound to set it before you. Sometimes, there may come a temptation to you that you ought to be doing something bigger and better than what you were doing, and that you ought to branch out, launch out. And that if you were in a larger sphere, you could do more for God. When you have any feelings like that, you do need to take your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. And you need, especially, to wait on God, like David. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. It may be where you are is where God has designed you to be. And though your sphere in life as you view it is a day of small things, it is a day of real things. It is where God has ordained you should be, to be useful and do his will in serving him where you are. And it is not to be despised. It is very difficult ground to stand on when you begin to be discontented with where you are and think if you could be this or that, then you could serve God much better in such a sphere than where you are. There is in that a great danger, and it may be Satan is seeking to gain some advantage of you. Who hath despised the day of small things? Remember that word in Ezekiel's prophecy where God says of Israel, in their return to the land of promise, and I will place them. And I will place them. And it is a great mercy sometimes to have a humble hope that where you are is where God has placed you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Yes. And as regards you being in another sphere, therein you need the Ark of the Covenant to go before you, and the moving of the cloud, that you may see it is what God's will is for you to do. And meanwhile, being where you are, who hath despised the day of small things? And now, if it should be, as it no doubt is with quite a few of you, a day of small things in your soul's experience, what are you to do? You can thank God and take courage that it is a day of small things. The day has dawned in your soul's experience. We are not of the night or of darkness. We are the children of the day. And if the day had not dawned in your soul, the good work being begun therein, you would not feel as you do about the evidences that you weigh up before God and sometimes conclude they're just small things, but they are what God has wrought. The great thing to be concerned about is real things. Yes. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. And would you see greater things in your soul's experience? The Lord help you to wait on him. Give him no rest till he brings to pass such a desire in your soul. And remember Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel, and he sent his servant to look toward the sea and tell him what he saw. And he came back on his first visit and said, there is nothing. And six times did he return and say, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And the seventh time he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand, arising out of the sea. And that was the token for good. Elijah had waited on God to receive. It was only a cloud as big as a man's hand. Just imagine that on the eastern sky. But the servant saw it. It was indeed a small thing, apparently. But Elijah says, it tells there is abundance of rain. Yes. And now, coming to the Amen, what do we read? There is a word here which will help you. And he said, it's the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And now you dear young people, look at this picture and remember how there is the teaching of God set forth in it. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. That is all the man can do. The sower soweth the word. The husbandman sows the corn. And when he has done that, he has to wait on God and leave the issue with God. God has guaranteed there to be a harvest. But having sown the seed, the husbandman can do no more. God does all that is in between seed time and harvest. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade. And now you see in late October, when the winter corn is coming up. Good it is to see it when the sun shines across the fields and you see the field is greening. But it is a day of small things. There is the green blade. The foot may tread it down. Winter with all its storms will rage over it. But the seed has germinated. The blade is the evidence. Yes. First the blade. Oh, such a day of small things, it seems. Then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And so, it just narrows down to this. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Our experience of things divine may be, as we estimate, a day of small things. But they that wait upon the Lord shall find the good work begun is deepened as you go on. Step by step as you go on, the way shall open up before you. And ultimately, you will find he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For who hath despised the day of small things? The Father does not despise it. The dear Son of God, the sinner's friend, does not despise it. The Holy Ghost does not despise it, because it is his Spirit's doing. Yes. The feeblest prayer, if faith be there, exceeds all empty notion. Amen. Thank you.